listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself. Maybe my time is so expensive, girl, yeah. And I'm not just a little bitty baby boy. No, no.
Second half of the Carol Cox Show, and I enjoyed the earlier conversation, and we'll keep talking about Envision Lie A, and if any of you out there have questions, comments, or want to add in, and again, the for the church and its officers and other people, feel free to call in or contact me at carol@carolcox.com. You're always welcome to have your comments. I don't want it to be a one-sided show, but if you refuse the invite, then it'll be a one-sided show. The show must go on. So, anyway, I'm now shifting gears, and I have in the studio here with me attorney Tony Lucricchio. And Mr. Lucricchio is the representing plaintiffs in the Hayia State Park matter, and we're relating to the Kama'aina kids and some of the work that Miss Laura Thielen left with us, as we did a couple shows and have talked about it extensively here and what has happened. So Mr. Lucricchio is going to update us on that information, as well as we're going to talk about the United Nations global warming, some issues related to that and new information. And we'll kick around a little bit of this recent shooting. He has some views of the congresswoman that was the attempted assassination, or whatever you would describe it, in Arizona. But anyway, good morning, Tony, and thank you for joining me. And again, 524-1080 if you have any questions or comments. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. It's good to be here.
Yeah, well, let's start with this, a little bit about yourself and your involvement with HAE. You're an attorney here in town. And
yes, I am. I'm a volunteer or pro bono attorney on the HAE State Park case, where the State Park was turned over during the Laura Thieland administration to Comine Care. They call themselves Comine Kids, but it's a $20 million a year operation. And we provided evidence that they are not a charitable organization and shouldn't have gotten that contract. And that information was buried by representatives of the then Attorney General's office until a 25-year contract was signed, so that our fear, and unfortunately that fear has come to pass, was that this organization would use the state park for what we believe is private business. Members of its board have tour businesses. They have just put in a huge roadway, tearing the side of the hillside apart with bulldozers and shovels, steam shovels, and took away tons and tons of earth, which may well have contained bones from the hillside. It was suspected by Hawaiian culture experts that that was a burial site. So that concern was that there was no permit to do this, no review outside of the Comine Care organization, and that roadway is now a very treacherous roadway. It doesn't comply with ADA standards. People, including myself, have been injured just walking on it. It is so steep, and the erosion is so erratic that it is putting mud into the ocean and on the roadway surface. Mm-hmm. So that's our next act, to move on that.
And no permits or anything, you're saying?
We can't find. There's a whole variety of permits that were required. We have not been able to find any of them have been complied with. And it's the attitude of the DLNR, former DLNR head, and the current deputy attorney generals that have allowed this condition to exist.
Well, now we have Governor Abercrombie has appointed Mr. William Isla as the DLNR chairperson to replace Laura Thielen. Is he accessible to you, or is he accessible, and has he refused or declined any meetings, or have you attempted to meet with him?
Yes, under the way the law is written, the parties, especially here where the parties have changed to a new administration, are required to confer, to meet and confer. On Friday, we got the message from the attorney, Mr. Weinhoff, who has been involved in this case for the Attorney General's office, that Mr. Isla will not meet with us. And the problem in any transition is that he comes in and he is a prisoner of the people under him and the information as it flows. We will be asking the court, under the law that exists, to go ahead and order this conference to take place. Mm-hmm. We have great confidence that once he's aware and his sensitivity to Hawaiian cultural issues, that he will act to start to resolve this.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, I have Dr. Kimberly Lowe, who worked with you out there in Hawaii, on the line, too, and I So, good morning, Kimberly. You have, thank you for joining us.
Oh, good morning.
So, Tony is sitting here.
Hi, Tony.
Bright
Hi,
smile
Tony.
On his face. And sounds, the fact that they're out bulldozing, just to start with that, is something troubling, very troubling, when you know the sacredness of that site. And these issues were already raised many a times, weren't they?
That's kind of what I was afraid of when I saw their plan. I don't know, I'm sorry I wasn't able to tune in a little earlier, but we went to a board meeting, to a neighborhood board meeting, where the Kamaaina kids showed their plan for that area. And there was a diagram that they showed which had little dots on it showing where they had plans of certain things they wanted to build. Some of those dots were actually where EV were located. So it was kind of easy to see that they didn't have the understanding of what was there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that was a concern that this kind of thing would be happening. I'm not surprised at all. It kind of went in, I mean, with big plans and ambitions, but very little understanding of the place.
Well, I think that you're exactly right. That plan that was so broad, and it was so clearly oriented to the private tourist market, that they couldn't hide that. I think your concern and our concern was that the EV was in grave danger, and sure enough, no more did they get in there than they not only destroyed that gravesite area, but the endangered species, the shorebirds nested in that area, all of that has been obliterated. And the horror of seeing what they've done, the erosion that now flows directly into the ocean and onto the reefs in what is a Class A bay determined by the federal government, Kaneohe Bay, is a disaster. And we really need to get the attention of the new head of DLNR. And people should start calling his office to ask for a community meeting with him to discuss this.
That little reef right outside the bay there's a place that's really covered with rays. If you walk out there, it's just alive. It looks like there's nothing there, but actually there are a lot of cyponculus, peanut worms, and rays. There's a living reef there. So that's really sad that they're already taking that action. And that's the kind of thing that the Friends of Haia'ia was actually put there to protect. At the time that the Friends came on board, there was plans to put a pier in over there. And that's another thing that concerns me. The Kamaaina kids presented a three-phase plan, if I remember correctly. None of the phases were actually approved, but it involved a pier as well and shuttling tourists out to, I believe, the shorebird area out there. There are some islands out there, yeah, Kapapa, and seems like they had an extended tourism plan that would be even more disturbing to the nesting birds, yeah.
Well, Kimberly, I'm very sorry to report to you that they have put in that pier. They've got it set so it retracts back to the land, but it is nonetheless a pier. They've purchased a new shuttle vehicle to carry people out to boats that are moored just off, and it is going to be a new tourist entry into these supposedly protected lands, which everybody has agreed. Your work over the years is well known in trying to get the Kaneohe a master plan to avoid exactly this, and the group across the Windward side was successful, except that last disastrous administration.
But you know, that another thing is that the master plan set a limit on tour activity in the bay, which did not include this new activity. There was a cap on those tour boats. So even that, and then there was an effort to disband the regional council that was implementing the plan. So that was also part of the previous administration. You know, it's everything that we were afraid of basically coming to light, and that seemed to have been the mission of that administration to get that done.
The master plan has been thrown overboard by that past administration, and right now we're being blocked from talking to the new administration, and we simply are not going to tolerate that.
So what can you do? What actions are you... You've mentioned a few, but can you approach, or are you prohibited from approaching the governor himself and bring his attention?
Well, because we're in court and we filed a new litigation, which requires conference of the parties, and Laura Thielen was one of the defendants, and now that switches to the new director. We will ask the court to order this conference, and we will ask that the public be allowed to be there at that conference or to have a separate conference. We're also considering going to the legislature and having an act passed which would mandate department heads meeting with the public on a monthly basis, having an open forum so that these games with attorneys cannot block information.
But if you created a group called Friends of the Friends of Friends of Hay, they have a right to go. They're not bound by the court order.
They're not bound by the court order. Anyone can contact the new director directly and say, here's what's going on. Mm-hmm. Technically, I'm the only one that can't because I'm an attorney. I must go through the other attorneys that are there who I see as blocking things right now.
If there's anyone out there that is willing or have an interest in this and want to be friends of Friends of Haya and carry the ball and ask some questions of the Attorney General and ask questions of Mr. Isla and DLNR and the Governor on behalf of this issue, you can either send me an email at carol@carolcox.com or give us a call right now at 524-1080 and join in. But anyway...
Well, thank you, Kimberly.
Okay, thank you.
I'll keep you informed. And my email, by the way, for anyone's interested, is Tony, T-O-N-Y, 96734 at yahoo.com.
Okay, thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Kimberly, for calling in. I appreciate it.
Let me also comment, any meeting that happens this morning cannot ignore what happened in Arizona yesterday. I believe that, I hope to God, this will signal a radical change in the life of the United States. We are now seeing what irresponsible activities occur when, exactly as the congresswoman said when Palin said that she was in her crosshairs, the congresswoman said there are consequences of that action. And you cannot make those statements, especially if you're going to run for president, you know, the person who has your finger on the button. This is very scary. And I think we're starting to see, no matter what the contact was with this individual, we're starting to see that people are realizing the horror of irresponsible rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. If you can hold that thought, right before we made the transition, Kaylee called in and wanted to have a comment on the hay. I apologize, listeners. I don't want to appear to be disjointed here, but it caused a transition. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. I'm not very. I have very limited knowledge about the Kanehe Bay marine area, and so my concern is this. I heard from the other speaker, the woman, that there is a Kanehe Bay sort of like a management plan for how the bay's marine resources are to be used, and I don't know all the details. But my question is, would that plan include the number of commercial types of permits that are allowed to use the resources of the bay? And if to access those bays require transporting customers from a pier to the reef area and all of those resources in the bay, requires leaving the pier. And if there is a method like permits to control or to manage the impact on those resources, does having a private pier in some way serve as a way to circumvent being part of that sort of management intention?
No. Any pier, whether it's private or public, is to have been governed by the Kanehoe Master Plan. This plan was worked on for years, involved scores of organizations, government and non-government, including DLNR, who approved the plan. When the Thielen administration came in, they simply ignored it. So that in answer to your question, there is in the plan a limit on how much tourism can be brought into addition in the Kanehoe Bay area because of its delicate nature. The waters in Kanehoe Bay are classified as Class A, meaning pristine. Kanehoe Bay was brought back from a terrible polluted situation by strong, strong, costly efforts. Now it's being ignored. That's the scary thing. The other thing I should tell you is members of the board and staff of Kama'aina, so-called kids, have private businesses in which we believe they intend to use the pier to bring their paying tourists into the bay to avoid the law. They cannot avoid the law. They've acted to do it as though it didn't exist. This is lawlessness personified.
You know, something like that happened out on the Waianae side a couple of years back, where the state had put out a contract to do a marine resource management assessment. And the company that was awarded the contract, we learned, had interest in, like as you say, in marine activities, ocean activities, tourism activities, mm-hmm. on the water. And so we went forward and asserted with the DLNR that there was a clear conflict of interest to award a contract to a company that would be making recommendations on how to manage the resources along the Waianae coast. Eventually, that contract was pulled back. And so what I'm hearing now is that there are people who went forward with advancing a bid to access the facilities and to take a concession lease on this mm-hmm. property in Hi'ia. But I guess we weren't as maka'ala, as alert to the composition of the board to at least assert that there might be other conflicts. Is that how we ended up where we are today?
Well, we knew that this was occurring. And we went in to try and get what's called a temporary restraining order from a federal judge. We were unable to get her to issue that order And immediately after she denied it, they then moved in to tear apart the sites, exactly all the things we predicted. So we are still in court on the main litigation. But this is an area we shouldn't be in, this lawsuit.
That's right.
It should be handled by the Attorney General's
That's
office.
Right.
It should be handled by DLNR. And yet, they were the bad guys, mm-hmm. in our opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to jump in there. So our non-resources, our meager resources, are what's being used. And now we breathe a sigh of relief because a new administration has come in. The old bad guys and girls are gone, and we now have to make certain that we have access, because access is everything in this case.
Well, I thoroughly support what you're doing, and will keep myself more informed as to how you're progressing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You got another caller. Kimberly, you there again?
Yes, I'm back, and the reason is that I felt that there was more I should have said. I have to thank you to Tony, and Tony has made a huge sacrifice. He's done so much pro bono and particular on this case, which I don't know what we would have done without him. But I also wanted to thank you, Carol, for always bringing these issues to light. For providing an opportunity for people to know about things, as the lady said, if we had known, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to thank you for allowing these kinds of things to be shared with the public in such an open forum. That's exactly what is not happening, that keeps people from knowing how our own government is not functioning well.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
All righty. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Kimberly. People should know also that Kimberly doesn't speak just as an interested person, but a person with great technical background in this area.
Oh, yeah.
And her concerns go beyond the average citizens because she knows what real damage can be done.
Well, no one listened to you, to me, or to the fishermen, and they knew Laura Phelan was bad for the environment, and this has nothing to do with you, and I want to make clear, this is my opinion and my opinion alone, and that is for the environmental groups out there that went and got in bed and was partnered up with Thielen, this is what you got. You get 1 inch in the road and you gave away 10 miles. So now we got to recover that and gain it back. You know, we were salt at the fishermen, we salt at the campers, we salt at many of people, and we even attempted right down the street there near this area. There are private entities that were threatened with losing their piers, and they had to get insurance, and they were hung out to dry. And yet this pier comes along. I don't see any permits. I don't see any announcements, any public opinions, or anything. So, anyway, but if we've gotten past that one, now back now to your other point. You were talking about the congresswoman in Arizona, and I do apologize. I don't want to sound as if we're sitting here smoking pot and disjointed. But it was This is not entertainment. I want to make sure the show is. We talk about anything and when it's time.
Well, I think that this morning the vast majority of the country is focused on this horrible incident that mm-hmm. occurred. I have a 9-year-old granddaughter, and the 9-year-old who was killed mm-hmm. and the federal judge who was killed and the staffers who were killed, and the tenuous condition the congresswoman has put into our faces, how dangerous the rhetoric has been, and both the president and the sheriff of the local county have called for real, real change in the way we speak and the way we assert our positions. There are very sick people out there, mm-hmm. and if we fuel their illness, we can expect this kind of thing. We've placed our Congress people in a position of real danger. Threats that their homes would be burned down, breaking into their offices, etc. This is the United States.
Mm-hmm.
This is a democracy that functions on rules and common sense. That's gone out the window, and we suddenly see what's happened. This is a horrible situation.
Now, one of the things now in that I've noted and noticed that it's just not the talk show and the radio people and the TV people that are fueling the fire. It is actually people in Congress who go on these shows and sit there and fuel the rhetoric. So, in other words, now they have this baby, this monster that they have created by participating. I mean, some of the things I've heard them talk about, even the president, I'm thinking there's some sicko out there that might be tempted, motivated, listening to this rhetoric. And so congressmen and senators, both on the right and on the left, should be very careful that when they arrive at these shows and the sputum that is put out there creates a dangerous atmosphere.
Yeah, I think the comments of the sheriff of Arizona County there, where this occurred, were really very, very insightful. He talks about the atmosphere in Arizona and how toxic it was. When people use the word might happen, now we've actually seen it. We'll learn in the next few weeks how directly connected this was to any comments or fuel that you've just referred to.
Mm-hmm.
But the real lesson here is that this must radically change, that responsibility, especially of elected officials or those who want to be president of the United States, cannot use gun terminology. The fact that this guy, who had a mental problem, well-known, a criminal history, could go and buy a gun and killed six people, wounded scores more, or 18 altogether, is phenomenal.
I have a caller. Caller, you have a comment?
Yes. I just want to make a comment that I hope they're not only focusing on this incident, because in the past we had people like Lincoln, Kennedy, an attempt on Reagan. So this type of incident will happen and will continue. So I hope we don't forget those previous attempts and successes on assassination of our presidents. Thank you.
I think the link to guns and interpretation ability to have guns has to be looked at, and your point is a good one, through this history. I think at the time of the incidents you referred to, the rhetoric and atmosphere was nowhere near what it is today. And I think everyone will admit that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is the danger we face as citizens of the United States on both sides of the question.
Yeah, I'm concerned, for example, when, and I've mentioned this on air, people that have great influence no longer make it their business to refer to President Barack Obama as President Barack Obama. It's Obama. And so it is always, you have to be careful what you do in front of children and older people and people that are mentally ill. And so we have to be careful, because we might stimulate them into committing some act that's irresponsible. And so when you do those things and you talk about Hussein, and they do this, and so there's some guy sitting at a bus stop with his earphones on, listening to the radio, nothing to do. You just never know when that illness perpetuates or materializes into some act.
Where we find ourselves this morning is we've got the country holding its breath especially elected officials, because the pattern of copycat is so strong, and the type of notoriety that this individual has gotten can be misread by a sick mind,
mm-hmm.
so that you've got real fear. The comment made by congresspeople who say, when we're in Washington, in chambers, we're protected. But when we're at home, we have no protection. When we reach the point that our elected officials live in fear, and that point we're at right now, we need, as a nation, to bring ourselves together and start to look at this problem seriously.
Now, is the onus solely on the people, or do you think, in your opinion, that Congress and the politicians share any bit of this blame?
I think the blame is to spend the time right now pointing the finger of blame,
mm-hmm.
is a waste of very valuable time. We know in our history that immediately after an incident, and one as horrible as this one, the 9/11, we have a real coming together, mm-hmm. of the country. You use that coming together right now to solve and address the problem. After a while, that will go away,
mm-hmm.
until the next incident, until the future that we have now been given a good look at,
mm-hmm.
that we say, we don't want that future, mm-hmm. not for us, not for this country.
So that means that the congressman, I'm just trying to ask these questions because I sit and I watch it, and Obamacare, I mean, will they, their whole intent is to go out and attack. Will they be inciting someone else on the left? Let's say this gentleman took up, let's just say, what if he took up the Palin signal or whatever, he was motivated by Palin. Now someone on the left, or hearing someone speaking on the left in opposition to, so should all of us use caution? I don't mean to say blame, but should we all share the responsibility?
The effects,
at all levels?
The effects of hate,
mm-hmm.
are not set for one party or the other. When you look at hate rhetoric, and especially the rhetoric around the health care issue. I think the wisest thing the Republicans did yesterday was put off Wednesday's vote from the House side to kill health care. But hate has no boundaries, especially if it's picked up by a person who doesn't have controls, doesn't have mental capability to sift out, and does not use the access. When I talk about access here in Hawaii to DLNR, people solve their problems if they've got access to their government.
Right.
If not, they become frustrated, angry, and the level of hate.
And then the government then has to be careful not to frustrate the mentally ill. And for example, take locally here the situation with the attorney generals and their interfering and intervention and denying you as an attorney, a rational thinking person, who's now going to have to dig in your pocket and pull your resources to file appeals and file actions. So the responsibility, we all need to step back. Whatever role we play in this society, we all need to now become more honest toward the American way and working together rather than working against one another, being political or what have you.
I think the message for the new governor is make sure that those administrative staffers carried over from the last 8 years,
mm-hmm.
who've been brainwashed in the last 8 years, are not in a position to block access.
Mm-hmm.
The success of the great plans that Governor Abercrombie has will rise and fall on whether or not those staffers in all of those departments change their ways. If they continue to block, then the plan cannot go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the vital interest all of the new head of DLNR, the new attorney general, all of the department heads, to make sure that this changes here in this state.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I want to talk about talks about how important this state has suddenly become with regard to extremely vital issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll I could segue into that area.
You have your way in the segue.
Okay, thank you. I just returned from the United Nations Global Warming Conference in Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
And as we knew before we went there, I went as a consultant to a Pacific Island nation who are already suffering the effects
mm-hmm.
of rising oceans. It is estimated that in this next century, starting very soon, 200 million people will have to be relocated because of rising oceans. There are no plans, no studies to show the effects on the places they will be moved to.
Mm-hmm.
Already, we're seeing here in Hawaii large percentages of Pacific Island nationals, and some related through the United States favored nations,
mm-hmm.
Here, and that number is going to increase. I started to say that we knew before we went to Cancun that the conference would be a disaster. It lived up to its reputation. The United States, I'm ashamed to say, China, India, and Japan, the major polluters of the world, made it clear that they would not support any continuation or increase in the Kyoto Accord. The greed, watching international greed,
mm-hmm.
disguised with words of concern, is stomach-turning. The anger at that conference, of there were 12,000 people there, 189 nations, the vast, vast, vast majority of which wanted to do something. But whatever they did would not work because the major polluters would not come on board.
Now, again, we heard China at the very end, so people are going to go away demonizing China. Could you name those major players again?
United States, number one.
Of America?
Yes, okay. Ahead of China at this point. China is catching up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
China, by the way, puts every day a new coal-fired plant is opened in China to keep the 1.2 billion people machine operating. They are doing that with energy and the disastrous effects mm-hmm. of that energy. The India is coming on strong. Let me just mention that China this year will surpass the United States and Japan in having more cars
mm-hmm.
in China than those two countries together.
Mm-hmm.
And those cars are polluting. India is got a huge movement toward personal vehicles. The disaster to the environment is our future.
Mm-hmm.
India's position is, you had your chance, now we've got our chance.
Now, what are we doing here in America that is contributing to this problem? We know India and China, and as you pointed out, what are we doing that was disclosed or brought to?
Very little, and in the future, with the Republican anti-global warming control of the governmental process, it'll be much worse.
Mm-hmm.
The situation where the administration has just come out with regulations for utilities and major companies, the Republicans are going to try and knock that out. Mm-hmm. Those regulations would have reduced things. So we will see, especially in the next 2 years, mm-hmm. and hopefully not in the next 4 years after that, mm-hmm. a major reversal of what very little was being done.
Now, is the President Obama's administration doing anything positive? I mean, I don't want to leave the public thinking that the Republicans and the on the right and the bad players here is are things being done the best way by the Democrats, or what are they doing? That they're part of it.
Let me give that a resounding no.
Okay.
It's the same problem we're facing here in Hawaii. When a new president came in with an agenda, mm-hmm. as this president had, the implementation of that agenda was done by government employees, departments that were not at all inclined to make radical changes, that had been influenced by the big auto companies, the big oil companies, et cetera, et cetera. So those transitions mm-hmm. do not occur in 2 years. And the attempts and the philosophy is there, but the reality has not yet been implemented. We think that what we're suggesting, what we suggested in Cancun, was that things must change. It is now clear that the United Nations cannot resolve this problem
mm-hmm.
because its main members are blocking mm-hmm. the situation. So we're saying re-emphasize, go back to the neighborhoods, come up with programs that start with the people and move up. The new bumper sticker we want to have is think internationally, act neighborly.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that is the approach for a new direction that we want to talk about for Hawaii mm-hmm. that we hope to see in November here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, somewhat related, they've always said the greasy wheel gets the best grease or the most oil. The squeaky wheel, I should say. What happened, the squeaky wheel was in Louisiana and with the oil blowout, and they're saying it could possibly happen again. What happened? The squeaky wheel seemed to have been silenced, but no. Was that mentioned in the Global Warming Conference, or was there any talk of that?
The best quote I ever heard to answer that question is, it is amazing how the American people will tolerate intolerable situations,
mm-hmm.
Traffic gridlock,
mm-hmm.
etc. The Louisiana thing, everyone thought with this horrendous spill that there would be huge reaction. There was, and that's what I was talking about for that time period.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if and when it happens again will tell us, was there any real effect? I think we have to say, if we have a system of government that has been fostered, sponsored, paid for by oil companies, car companies, etc., we should not be surprised
right.
when inaction becomes the result.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sure left us hanging, and a lot of unanswered questions, and the threat is always there, and they fought to, went to court and challenged it, and now they can deal deeper, longer.
Yes, yeah. It's, our system of laws also is one that supports development
mm-hmm.
and minimizes protections.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some cases that limit class actions, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what we did in Cancun, and I think this is the call to people listening today. We went knowing that this was going to be a disaster, and we've promoted a pick up the pieces
mm-hmm.
conference here in Hawaii. most people are familiar that the APEC meetings are going to be here in November.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be 6,000 to and more people from all over the Pacific coming here. President Obama specifically selected Hawaii as the place to have this conference. It will be the biggest conference that we have had in this state in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
The impact on that conference and on its agenda is not changeable. That is done by the State Department, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So our plan is to have a meeting that runs parallel before or after that conference, when people are already here, to come up with a plan to think internationally, act neighborly,
mm-hmm.
and show ways that you can start to attack this area. The next United Nations conference is in Durban, South Africa. The hope is that at the November, and that's in December mm-hmm. of next year, of this year.
This year.
This year. Suddenly it's this year.
It's this year.
So the hope is that we will have a plan that comes out of these meetings, and there'll be a series of meetings
mm-hmm.
that occur up until the meeting in November to take to Durban
okay.
and to announce to those vast, vast majorities, here's what you can do, here's how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, what we saw, and I've been to three of these meetings now. I was at Kyoto, where there was much debate whether there was such an animal as global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to South Africa, Johannesburg,
mm-hmm.
and there was a little debate. In Cancun, no debate. Everybody agreed.
Mm-hmm.
It's here.
Can you, I don't want you to commit to something that you can't do, but can you keep us posted? And this show is available if you've got some update, because rather than tossing right or left, or just come in with the straight info as you were doing this morning, I really would appreciate it. And I think the listeners, I wasn't aware that you were even a member or delegate.
I was not a delegate. I was there as a consultant.
Okay.
And these countries, these Pacific countries, for example, seawalls have been built to keep the ocean out. It used to take a major storm.
Mm-hmm.
Now it takes a medium storm for the water to wash inland.
Okay.
So they built seawalls. What's happened, because these are atolls, sand and coral, is the ocean has now gone underneath the wall into the agricultural fields, killing the plants.
Salting the soil.
They're taking the soil out, building concrete bowls now.
Yeah.
That will only be temporary.
Well, thank you, Tony. Tony Lucrecchio. I'm really happy he dropped in and spoke with us. And anytime you want to come back, just give us a call.
You will have a hard time keeping me away.
Okay. That's a challenge. But anyway, in closing, a lot of these things are occurring. I'm a little humor to this, but remember, this is the same generation that fell in love with pet rocks and pet rock bands, so, and spent big bucks on them. So anything can be pulled over our heads, over our eyes, I should say. So having said that, I'm going to be out of here, and we'll see you next week. And we're going to talk about trash and the Hawaii waste systems, and got some interesting information. And we need to get out of the business of supporting, we, the city especially, supporting businesses that fail and giving them money and waiving their fees of millions of dollars, and in turn reach over their shoulder and say, taxpayer, give us some money. It has to stop. But I got lots to say on that next week, and we'll join you next week. Aloha.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.